Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade on Mystery Inc. and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. King Baby Duck here. So, as I somewhat predicted in last week's podcast show, that whole Nintendo Fusion thing wound up being a steaming pile of bullshit blended with a fresh batch of hedgehog vomit. None of the big sites reported on it, not even making its way onto the EGM Now page. Hell, not even the other program partners touched on this, like, faux news story. There was news of Nintendo bringing something to mobile devices, but as of now, what that is currently vague. I mean, odds are, it's just a Miiverse app, which would be wicked cool, by the way. So, why did I talk about it on the show? Well, blame it on a slow news week and the fact that I had to rush the show out due to an incredibly busy weekend I was going to have. Still, it's no excuse for not giving No Borders a Race my 100% all like I usually do. And for that, I apologize. I'm usually a lot more on the ball when it comes to making these shows, and I swear I'll make it up to all of you. You know, it happens sometimes. Some weeks you've barely got any steam, but you've gotta move along the tracks to get your listeners to that destination. I think from here on out, if another slow news week comes by, I'll just do my best to maybe, like, I don't know, invite some of our friends to join me in a panelist manner, or just forego doing any talking points and just spin some music. I mean, that's why you're all here listening, isn't it? You want to rock out and get your groove on to some great J-pop and otherworldly music. So let's do that right now. Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to support these artists by buying their music. And you can find just about all these releases on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, Bandcamp, iTunes, the official band websites, and your local record store. We're going to start the show off with something from Tommy Heavenly Six's newest album, Tommy Ice Cream Heaven Forever, which would sound like an awesome dessert at Friendly's or some other ice cream place. This song is called Milk Tea.
Good night, Got to be the girl for the day.
with Clown for a Day from their Pup on Arrival album, one of the best releases to come out of Japan last decade. They called it quits back in 2010, but we can always cross our fingers for a reunion of some kind. So last week, the Grammys were held, and I have to say I was very happy with the results. The fact that Daft Punk won all the awards that they were nominated for, including both Record of the Year and Album of the Year, shows that the Grammy Awards are finally opening the floodgates for the electronica scene. I've been a lover of techno and dubstep since high school, back when Daft Punk were slowly making waves in the States thanks to their anime music videos promoting their amazing Discovery album, as well as a time when other groups in their realm like the Chemical Brothers, Scooter, and Dirty Vegas were turning heads and playing to massive crowds in Europe. With this win, Daft Punk have finally shown not just America, but the world, that the electronica scene isn't going anywhere. Not for a really long time, at least. Now, does this mean that other acts in the genre will get a chance at the biggest nomination? Can we see the likes of Deadmau5, Skrillex, and Kavinsky take home the biggest music trophies of the year? You know, in all honesty, that depends on the artists themselves. You see, what Daft Punk did for Random Access Memories was, in a sense, an anti-electronica dance album. There were more real instruments used and barely any samples. That's what made it stand out more than any other dance record released last year, and why it was the only electronica album on my top 20 albums list, not to mention Deuces Wild of Geek Aggro's pick for Best Album of 2013. The sad thing is, though, is that if any of the other artists in the genre, like Feed Me or even M-Flow, were to do what Daft Punk did, they would be simply labeled copycats. So what do they do now? And, you know, in all honesty, that's a tough call to make. There might have to be some dissecting done by these artists, along with a little rewiring and blueprinting to figure out what hasn't been done before, what won't work, and how they change their tune without losing their trademark sound. It's an incredibly complicated process, which may be why it took this long for Daft Punk to craft a new album, you know, outside of that Tron Legacy soundtrack. I know that Deadmau5 has stated that he would like to make the electronica equivalent of Pink Floyd's The Wall, and as I think that's the greatest album of all time, I would love to see Mr. Zimmerman succeed in doing that. However, we may not see another album like Random Access Memories take the gold phonograph home for at least 2 years, as it will take a lot of time for these electronica and dance artists to try and tinker with their sound. When that time comes, though, we'll be very happy seeing the Grammys open their arms wide towards the genre. Now, let's just cross our fingers and hope that we can see a Japanese pop artist get the big nod somewhere down the line. I mean, after all, if two robots can sweep the Grammys, then anything is possible. And you know what? We're going to play something right now from a band who may be one of the first contenders for my top 20 albums of 2014 list. They are called Sleepy Kitty, who are comprised of vocalist and guitarist Paige Brubeck and drummer Evan Salt, who some of you may remember from the band Harvey Danger. Their new album Projection Room just hit stores a couple weeks ago and is already one of my favorite albums of the year, thanks to its Ravenettes meets The Kills with a dash of Imelda May kind of melodies. From that album is a cool little track called Don't You Start.
Don't you start messing.
Bloodthirsty Butchers with Quarter Nine Men Men from last year's album Youth, which, sadly, may be the band's final album. And let me explain why. It was during my preparation for this episode when I was initially going to play something from their album, Guitarist Will Corosinaide. And what I usually do is I took a look at a band's bio and recent news about what is going on with them, and, you know, I talk about that. I go onto their Wikipedia page, and I come across something that made my heart drop, like, devastatingly. Last May, their vocalist and guitarist, Hideki Yoshimura, passed away suddenly from acute cardiac failure. Now, Bloodthirsty Butchers wasn't the first band from Japan I got into, nor the 10th. In fact, it was halfway through the first year of No Borders, No Race back at WMWM Salem when someone on the Pillows Instant Music fan forum brought them to my attention. I forget who it was, but they had sent me their Banging the Drum album. And I was instantly hooked by this amazing heavy rock sound and this voice that came from Yoshimura. It was unlike anything I'd heard from Japan at the time. He reminded me somewhat of Damien Abraham of Fucked Up. No, not audibly, mind you, but more rather emotionally. Bloodthirsty Butchers taught my list of bands that I personally wanted to see live in person. And it sucks because now I will never get that chance. It's the biggest drawback to being a J-pop podcast show stationed here in America. I can't just walk out my door, jump on a train, and expect to see any of these Japanese artists playing at my local clubs. It's not very often a Japanese band comes to America to perform. And if they do, it's either at some anime convention or in many cases, just out west. You know, some bands would say, oh, we're going to do a U.S. tour, but they only play 3 shows in California. I never got that. I never understood why they would say that. It's a California tour then, not a U.S. tour. This is going to sound a bit ramblish, so I apologize in advance, but you know, I'm sometimes not happy with being so far away from the music scene I love so much. It makes me wish I could find a way over to Japan. But then there's airfare prices, trying to get a job, learning the language, finding a place to live, and jumping through many other hoops to get the tiniest comfortable over there. And it's an incredibly rough process, especially with someone like me that's got a language-based learning disability. Not to mention, too, I would lose track of all the bands that are from America and other parts of the world, probably. You know, bands that I've helped promote, like Skinny Lister and, you know, Perfect Pussy, and a few other bands, too, that I've helped promote on the show. You know, I know I have friends over in Japan that can help share info with me about, you know, Japanese artists and such, but even they can only do so much. For this kind of information that about a band that I loved so much to go under my nose, it's unacceptable that myself or anyone else in the English J-pop news realm didn't report on it. For now, though, let's give a long overdue memorial to Hideki Yoshimura. And I urge everyone out there to please check out Bloodthirsty Butchers' discography. There's a great split album they made with the band Plus Minus that's out in America, which is a fantastic way to start getting into them. What it is like Bloodthirsty Butchers perform songs by Plus Minus, and then Plus Minus perform songs by Bloodthirsty Butchers. They cover one another. There are also 3 Bloodthirsty Butchers tribute albums coming out this year. One that's out right now, and another 2 coming out sometime in March. And they've got amazing acts like The Pillows, Shonen Knife, Mosom Tonbender, Mono Bright, Eastern Youth, The Band Apart, and many others covering the band's most powerful tracks. You know, this really goes to show you how many people within the Japanese music industry love Bloodthirsty Butchers, that so many bands came together to pay tribute that they had to make 3 albums for it. So please, out of all the bands that I play today on this show, please do yourself a favor and give a Bloodthirsty Butchers album a spin. I promise you will fall in love with them quickly, and I'm pretty sure you'll share the same regret I do, as you'll probably never get to see this band on stage ever again. Why don't I try and cheer everyone up, including myself, with a little Japanese Celtic punk. Here are the Cherry Cokes with a track from their album 7. It's called Country Roads.
that you're superior. You think that you're superior.
Teddy Bears with Crystal Meth Christian, featuring the Flaming Lips from their 2010 album Devil's Music, one of my faves from that year. No word yet on what's happening with Teddy Bears, but the Flaming Lips just released a new EP revolved around the recent Ender's Game movie, so be sure to take a look at that. Alright, boys and girls, get your notepads ready because it's time for our favorite Japanese tutor to share with you another insightful lesson. Here's Sawa Sensei with this week's Nazo Nazo Nyongo.
皆さん、明けましておめでとうございます。
Happy New Year, everyone! Welcome back to Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nihongo. I hope you all had a great New Year's holiday. During the holiday, I went back to my hometown, Nagoya City, which is about 2 hours by Shinkansen, bullet train, from Tokyo. And I spent my time together with my family.Nothing special, but we've done some traditional stuff during the New Year's holiday. So I'd like to introduce you some together with what I did together with my family. There will be many Japanese words that I'll be introducing today, so I hope it's not so complicated or boring for you to follow. Also, please remember that Japan is an island that is stretched out long from north to south, so depends on the area, there are very different ways and variety of customs. But for today, I'll be talking from my base, which will be almost the same with Nagoya or Tokyo, mid-Japan area. So if you felt interested in this topic and start digging about different ways of New Year celebration in Japan,according to each area, I'm sure that will be one of the very interesting research projects in your J culture field. Okay, let's start with the way how we prepare. The preparation of New Year's holiday will start around mid-December. Have you heard the term 年賀状? It means New Year's greeting card. And most of the people start writing by early to mid-December.And by the time before Christmas Day, we finish writing for friends, families, company, teachers, and yeah, anyone. Anyone that came up in their mind. The older you get, the more people to greet. But like my father, he writes over 100 cards for every year. It's annual ritual kind of thing to do. To keep up the relationship and to show how you still care that person, even it's not easy to see each other for long years, and also to update each other with the right address and how well they've been doing and stuff like that. We don't send presents like American Christmas season, but just simply cards with original writing on the back, such as drawings,pictures or families or simply messages, but for the most of the time together with the animal of the year, like Chinese calendar. However, it's been said that young generations are more used to write 年賀状. Well, actually, there's no such words as 年賀状, but I just put it in that way to explain it, maybe have more easier guess.For you guys to think from the email. Yeah, it's the digital 年賀状 kind of thing. And I kind of do in both ways because I don't want to use printer. I paint or draw each card one by one with my hands, so I can't send a lot of actual card nengajo. But somehow I like it in that way. It's more like handmade with more of my heart in it, you know? Anyway, if you could successfully bring your handwritten nengajo to the post office by the Christmas day, most of the time, the nengajo can be posted on New Year's Day or anytime later than January 3rd. I did attend lots of crazy Christmas parties during that season. But aside of that, I was working on this nengajo project as every year. On the New Year's Day, we call it Gantan, New Year's Day, we do Hatsumode. Hatsumode means pay a visit to a shrine. After wishing a good fortune of the year, I like to consult an oracle. I don't really care what's written on a piece of paper given by a shrine maiden, but it's like a game, you know? If you could pick the one with the good thing written on it, you'll start getting excited about this new starting year. And if not, you just fold it into the piece of line like a thread and tie it up on the tree that stands inside a shrine. And that's what we do here. It's been said that some kind of supernatural power of tree or tree elf or vitality of nature or something like that can help you wish come true and prevent you from the bad fortune. After coming back from shrine on Gantan, New Year's Day, it's a time for the feed. Ozoni, soup containing rice cake and vegetables, is one of the most popular dish, as well as osechi. And osechi means special set of New Year's dishes. And you're supposed to make all the osechi dishes before the New Year and eat them during the first 3 days of the New Year. Well, my family are the lazy one. I mean, because my family runs Sento Bath every day. It's a public bathhouse. So we don't prepare beforehand, but for most of the time, we cook during the New Year's holiday, which will be after the New Year's Day. Let me introduce you some of the popular osechi dishes. Each dish has an ingredients, and osechi has meanings, such as good health, good harvest, happiness, prosperity, long life, and so on. It's said that yellow-colored dishes and ingredients such as kazunoko, which is a salted herring roll, will symbolize prosperity, and that various beans implied a wish for good health. Also, red or reddish-pink and white-colored food such as pink and white kamaboko. Kamaboko is a boiled fish paste. Slices represent celebration colors. Okay, let me introduce some more popular cookings of New Year's. Maybe it's gonna make you hungry, or maybe not. For me, it makes me hungry. Okay, how about kobumaki? Kobumaki is a simmered kombu rolls, the seaweed. We eat kelp because it is pronounced kobu. Kobu means kelp, which is part of the word, Japanese word, yorokobu, which means be happy. So it's part of the word yorokobu that we eat kobu maki. Got it? Okay, another example is like kuromame. Kuromame. Black beans, or simmered black soybeans, is for good health, because in Japanese, beans is pronounced mame, as I said, kuro mame, and this word can mean good health. How about kuri kintom? Kuri kintom, kuri kintom. It means mashed sweet potato with sweet chestnuts. By its bright yellow color, it reminds shimmering gold and treasure. So people eat this as a wish for the richness. And I think I already introduced you the salted herring roe, the kazunoko. And it means fertility because fish eggs are not just one, but a lot in one. And also, date maki. Date maki is sweet omelet roll, and it represents something precious or important because in the old time, Japanese people used to keep the important documents in the rolled-up style. Okay, maybe this one was going to be the last one. Tatsukuri, or we call it gomame, in other words. It's a candied dried sardines. And sardines was not only eaten, but also used as a futile in the history of old Japanese agriculture. And eating sardines represent the wish of fertility. So, who's getting hungry? Maybe only me? I am sure that I'm gonna eat some chocolate or cookies after this recording is finished. So, that's pretty much all that I can tell you about the way how I spent my New Year's and how most of the Japanese people, maybe my generation, spend a New Year. And yeah, it's like pretty much wishing after wishing for the happiness and good luck of the New Year. So I hope this New Year will bring you all lots of fortunes and happy smiles.
ということで、Let me say one more thing before I say goodbye to you guys. This is one of the most popular saying in Japanese New Year's greeting. 今年もどうぞよろしくお願いいたします。And this means please treat me as well as you did last year. And the short way to say this is ことよろ。Alright? ということで、ことよろ。ことよろ。
Arigato, Sawa-sensei. And remember, if you've got questions about Japanese language or culture, be sure to drop us a line at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa-sensei. She actually sent me one of those New Year's cards, and it's a very beautiful drawing of a jester on a horse. I've got it framed right next to my Rob Zombie autograph. I'm very excited to hear about Black Lagoon coming to Toonami later this year. And to get you prepared is Revy's favorite band and one of my personal favorites too, Guitar Wolf. Here's the Jet Generation version of Kanana Fever. One, two, three, four! Fever!
た道端に宿るイメージと舞い上がった名もなく正義が君の言葉を奪うんだよ。膝にすがって泣いても誰かを恨んでも表面は売れたって嘆いたって変わんねえもん。目が回るような速度で進む単身とひび割るレッドギラもプレイヤーも現在地を知らんねえもん。ここに立って傍観者拾ってはいられない。だからノーだってイエスだって胸を張ってよ。チップをベットしよう。息吸って毒吐いて残額吸ってしまっても金になんて変えられない。差し出すのが誇りさ、それが愛だって希望だって胸を張ってよ。
Compilation CD coming out this month called Feedback File 2, and will feature DVD footage from their first European tour, so be sure to check that out. So this past week, director Hayao Miyazaki made news when he commented on the state of Japanese animation and blamed its decline in quality on the otaku. Miyazaki made these comments as he was showing off his drawing skills, showcasing the way he draws human characters as real, believable people. And let me read you the actual quote. "You see, whenever you can draw like this or not, being able to think up this kind of design, it depends on whether or not you can say to yourself, oh yeah, girls like this exist in real life. If you don't spend time watching real people, you can't do this, because you've never seen it. Some people spend their lives interested only in themselves. Almost all Japanese animation is produced with hardly any basis taken from observing real people, you know. It's produced by humans who can't stand looking at other humans. And that's why the industry is full of otaku." Bastards and wenches, I gotta say, he's right on the money on this one. For the past few years, we've seen the quality of anime go downhill, thanks to the plethora of fan servicey shows that are made for the smallest demographic of anime fans, or otaku in this case. The kind of shows where female characters have unrealistic giant tits and swoon over that one shy guy who in real life would never get a girl like that. It's terrible how some of these anime shows have no artistic merit, yet not only are they given a green light, but they're shockingly popular. Yeah, what Miyazaki is saying here is that the problem with these shows is that they are made by people who haven't truly experienced life. They need to get outdoors, see the world, communicate with others, and create bonds of friendship and love in the ways that real people do. And then take these experiences and put them into their stories and their character designs. If they do that, then they'll make an anime that has that extra glimmer of quality, not to mention showcasing your style in a way that will extend towards other demographics. So, look alive, anime writer hopefuls. Leave your rooms, go out, have fun, make connections, and grab life by the horns, because that's the only way you're going to be able to create a series or film that has true heart, soul, and believable characters. That's right, you, I am talking to you. Go out there, meet people, create this sort of awesomeness that no other way. Where are you going? Stop, wait, come back. I'm not finished with this podcast show yet. When this episode is over, though, go out and do everything I just said. Go out and create. Up next, we've got the band The Change Up, who love to blend rock and reggae and funk and hip-hop and other genres under the sun to create a cool sound in the same vein as 311 and Sublime. They've got a sold-out show coming up on February 8th at the Hard Rock Cafe in Boston. And be sure to check them out on ReverbNation.com/The Change Up. Here's their most recent track, Monday Morning.
It was like Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but it just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. And it's like Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but it just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. All of the pressure can't escape from compressed space. And my feeling that I get, make my heart race. And all the people pass me by like I'm not there. So I just put my head down and now they all stare me down like criminal mind with the dopest of it. Oh yeah, I can hit and talk shit over there. It's so simple to prepare when they call it unfair. But I'm deadly with the mic and now they're running so scarce. And now Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but they just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. When it's like Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but they just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. I don't know, can you help me cherish the thought of another day you rise? I don't know, can you save me from myself and my individuality? Here we go, let them know. Either my secret to my flow is emotional connection. Here we go, let them know. Either my secret to my flow is emotional connection. Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but they just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. And it's like Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but it just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. I feel the darkness spark, the light, it isn't there. The doors, they all shut, the windows, they boarded up. And all the spirits gripped up to clutch the frigid air. The air, I don't care, is filled with real fear. And fear is into the rare to stop me over here. I stand real tall, flipping the bird. I continue to learn, I continue to burn, I continue to yearn. And just like the earth, I'm spinning around with no concern. I said, now Monday morning December, and it never does snow, but it just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. And it's Monday morning in December, and it never does snow, but it just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. I don't know, can you help me cherish the thought of another day rise? I don't know, can you save me from myself and my individuality? Here we go, let them know. Either my secret to my flow is emotional connection. Here we go, let them know. Either my secret to my flow is is emotional connection on Monday morning in December. And it never does snow, but they just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. And it's like Monday morning in December. And it never does snow, but they just keep pouring down. This feeling that I get, I'm over now. And it's like Monday morning, Monday morning. It's just like Monday morning, Monday morning. It's just like Monday morning, Monday morning. Just like Monday morning, Monday morning.
Wraps up this week's episode of No Alerts, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, or if you have anything for our dear teacher, Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can find us on Facebook on facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade, and you can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. We're going to end things off with the band Flip, who last year released a new album called Love Toxicity. But right now, we're going to play something from their XX Emotion album, which was released back in 2012. It's called Konnyatsuki de Aimasho. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.